I'm Rhonda McBride. Good to have you here with us on Juneau Afternoon. For the young people who take part in Gold Belt Heritage Foundation summer youth programs, it could be one of those summers that changes the course of their lives. At least, that's the way it's been designed, to immerse young people in skills that Southeast Alaska Natives traditionally taught to their age group. So a lot of thought and preparation has gone into this. And joining us now, Desiree Jackson. She's executive director for the Gold Belt Heritage Foundation. And Lyle James, who is the program administrator for the foundation. So let's start off by having each of you introduce yourself using your culture. So we'll start with you, Desiree.
Hi, good afternoon. Thanks for having me. My name is Desiree Jackson. I'm the executive director for Gold Belt Heritage Foundation. My Tlingit name is Dushati, little kitty, and I'm so happy to be here.
I love that name, little kitty. Lyle, your name, your Tlingit name is a very challenging one to pronounce, so I'll let you handle that.
My name is Chitli Ish, and it's a name that was given to me by my great-grandfather, and it was a clan brother of my great-grandfather that I was named after, and his name was Robert Grant, his English name. I'm Kaguantan, and I'm from Huna. Our clan originally comes from Kauknuu, which is Gross Fort.
That's a lot of wonderful history, and for a period of time, a lot of young Tlingits and other Southeast Alaska Natives didn't really get that history. So I'm curious, and we'll start with Desiree. What is top of mind to each of you in shaping this summer camp?
You know, for us, it's all about the language and the culture. And as you can see, we're so blessed at Gold Belt Heritage Foundation to have these amazing cultural bearers be leading and be part of our camps. And so, you know, we're gonna really immerse ourselves this summer in the language and, you know, from harvesting to form line to weaving, whatever we do, it'll all be based in language. And we're so excited to see this happen.
So language is the thread that's going to tie all of it together. And that's a tall order, isn't it, Lyle, to be doing this?
Well, the way we think about it is we're healing through our language. And everything that we do and everything that we absorb as teachers and as students, it helps us grow. It creates a foundation that we can look forward to and hold our heads up with pride.
So who are some of the presenters that you're bringing in to help share this cultural knowledge and language?
We have some wonderful teachers coming on board. We have Nay Brown, who is going to be our lead teacher. She has been teaching both at the university and through the camps that Gold Belt Heritage Foundation has been hosting. We also have the guidance of Marsha Hodge, who is a teacher in Haines and Clarkwan territory. She is also an adjunct faculty with the university as well. And they both do a dynamic lessons to just bring out the pride within the students. We also have Fred White, who is also there right along their sides and just keeping up with the hard work that these ladies are doing in the language.
And I just want to add that, you know, Gold Belt Heritage Foundation is so happy to have both Marsha and Fred. As they introduce themselves, they'll let you know that they are amongst the youngest folks who are fluent language speakers. So Fred touts himself as the youngest male fluent language speaker and Marsha the youngest female. Fluent speakers are not around much. They're very few and far between. And so it's really important for us to have those fluent speakers on staff.
And for the young people to hear the language spoken by people who are first language speakers, not perhaps people that can speak in phrases and just really know part of the legacy. So I guess in a way they're really having a hand, a physical connection with the language legacy. And how important is that, that they kind of get that they can soak that in?
It is so important because if you don't know the Alaska history with the indigenous people and boarding schools, Southeast was the first to be hit. And the elders, these generations, two generations ago, one generation ago sometimes, for some of these students, have been touched by boarding schools and how it impacted them. But now seeing this generation and how they take the pride in learning Tlingit and who they are and where they come from, it's starting a healing process.
In some ways, when you hear about some of these programs, from learning how to prepare and well, harvest and prepare foods and learn the traditional form line drawing and weaving, my goodness, do you kind of wish that these sorts of programs were available when you were a kid?
100%. Oh, my goodness. They would be so powerful. And I'm blessed that now my kids get access to that, is all I can say. One of the things I wanted to reiterate about these camps is that, yes, there is this language component and this form line component. There's a lot that we're going to be learning, but it's all based in having a lot of fun and having a connection with our people. And so I'm wanting to put on my camp hat and go with them and just experience it like a kid again, just because it's such an amazing opportunity for them.
So, Lyle, what was it like for you growing up as a kid? How were you able to learn about your culture? Because obviously you've absorbed a lot. I mean, you speak the language, you know the stories.
I was pretty fortunate. My father was actually a camp coordinator growing up. So I attended the camp from the day that I was able to start walking or going to school. And my father had me by his side. Right up until I was too old for being an overnighter to being a chaperone. That's been my life, is culture camps. My father, Owen James, used to run the camps in Cake. And that's where I grew up and learning a lot of the things that I teach now.
So there have been some culture camps and more recently more of those. Has there been enough of them for you to see the impact that they have on the young people?
Yes. Being a teacher for going on 18 years, some of the kids that I used to work with when I first started, I now get to have some of their kids as my high school students. And that's been a phenomenal partnership with the parents and the community, and seeing that they have the trust within us to share the knowledge that this amazing team has. So, and I look forward to doing this every summer.
So what are the seeds that you're trying to plant with these students? Because you're covering a lot of territory, especially with the language and some of the other cultural programs like the subsistence harvesting and preparation of foods, form line drawing. So what is it that you want the kids to take with them? Because it's not enough time to become experts in those subjects.
I'm a registered dietitian by trade. And, you know, one of the things that we were taught in college is that, you know, you give a kid's taste. Like, kids are, you know, they have these developing palates, right? And so when you introduce foods to kids, that's a comforting thing that they're going to grow up with a taste for the rest of their life. And that's the way I see what we're doing as well. Not only with the traditional foods, giving them that hands-on experience, giving them a taste so that this is what nourishes them and comforts them and creates this healthy lifestyle desire within them for the rest of their life and for future generations.
Lyle, what seeds are you working to plant this summer?
The joys of being themselves and knowing that they're enough. And because being Tlingit, Haida Tsimshian, being a human being in Southeast Alaska, knowing how to survive in these territories is a great thing to know. Going back to who we're going to have on the team, my wife, Dr. Lutch, is going to be an ethnobotany instructor during that camp. And she's going to teach the students how to harvest edible medicinal plants. And so that plant recognition is something that when they walk around on the trails here in town or anywhere here in Southeast, they can identify those plants and take pride in saying, this is what I learned.
And there is sort of a feeling of strength, I think, when you can look at plants and say, that is what you need maybe to soothe this scratch that you have or the to prevent it from becoming infected. This will work. I think that perhaps young people don't have enough things in their lives that actually empower them today. I mean, not just for Southeast Alaska Natives, but just across the world.
Absolutely.
So there are two sets of workshops. So you want to explain to us how they work and when they happen?
So July 12th through the 15th, we will be having our middle school youth camp. That's going to be out at the Eagle River Methodist Camp. Absolutely free registration. We're offering travel scholarships. I want to let everybody know that these camps are open to not only youth here in Juneau, but youth across Southeast and especially our Gold Belt shareholders and their descendants. So essentially they'll be overnight and these days are jam-packed from the start of the day to the finish of the day. Then we also have, starting July 16th through the 29th, we have a 14-day high school camp, which will be again overnight at the Methodist area. It is a longer camp, but this camp is offering dual credit to our high school students for both college and high school. So they will not only be walking away with all this knowledge, they'll actually have credit at school and into college.
So they get a head start for college and they get an inoculation of a lot of good wisdom to see them through their lives. So what an opportunity. I imagine, though, with COVID, registration is fairly limited, that you can't have as many students in person at these camps as you normally might.
Yeah, it does restrict us on the amount of students that we can work with at one time. But we are following the CDC policies to make sure that all students and participants are safe at all times. This is a policy that we want to maintain as the students participate throughout the whole academy, both middle school and high school.
We are working with the CBJ to get our kids who are coming into camp vaccinated if the parents and the child agree. That's something we're working hand in hand with them. We're also working with CBJ so that we can do the testing as folks come in. And so there'll be some peace of mind that they've been tested and that we're following CDC protocols. So unfortunately, that pandemic's still sort of lingering around, but we feel very confident that this summer camp is one of the safest places that your youth can be.
I have to bring this up, Lyle, because I count myself one of the lucky ones to have heard you tell the tale of the strong man, a wonderful story that, as I think on it, is layered with so many messages. So will your students be hearing your strongman story this summer?
There's a possibility, but we do have some wonderful storyteller guest speakers who'll be coming up to do storytelling throughout both camps.
Well, basically, just to recap, because we don't have time here, the strongman is a story where you are encouraged to look at a person beyond what you see and watch what they do. And sometimes what they do has mystery involved in it too. You don't always see what people contribute, but it's a beautiful story. And the more I reflect on it, the more I keep learning from it. What is the value of kids hearing these stories that are going to be shared this summer?
Knowing the protocol of the stories and who the stories belong to. Like, for instance, the Strongman story actually belonged to the Raven people. And we want to make sure that they understand as they're listening to these stories, our histories, it belongs to specific clans. And knowing as they go out and they hear and they share their stories, they know exactly who they're talking about and the relations to those stories.
So it's more than a story, but really about how people are connected with one another.
Yes.
And so many valuable lessons. Well, I want to thank both of you for being here with us to answer our questions and pique our curiosity about what's being taught this summer. Desiree Jackson and Lyle James with the Gold Belt Heritage Foundation. Thanks for coming on to Juno Afternoon and sharing with us.
Ganesh Chish.
Ganesh Chish.